Hello and welcome back to Sex Scandals and Shenanigans podcast. My name is Adrian and I'll be your host. We are continuing on the sexual escapades of the god Zeus. He is the horniest of them all. Maybe except for his brother Poseidon, but that'll be a future episode. Zeus is the god of man, justice, sexual injustice, and of course, shape-shifting son of a biscuit that he is. Unlike last week's episode, this episode will cover Zeus's sexcapades with mortal beings. No titanesses or titans, no gods, anything of that nature. Before recounting his sexual conquests, as always, this episode will discuss sex, sexual assault, rape, and incest. Listener discretion is advised. Let us enter Zeus's boudoir. Now we've come to discuss Zeus's mortal sexcapades. We also find Hera at her most enraged due to Zeus's bumping grind sessions with beautiful women and men of the mortal world. As this is not a standard person, albeit he is a god, I won't go into finding what a mistress or a lover is. Let's just say that Zeus accrued many a liaison with immortals and mortals alike. Seeing how this is part two, let's start with the Trojan prince Ganymede. When Zeus finds an attractive person who rouses his lust, no one is safe from his advances. Backstory for Ganymede. He was the son of the Trojan king Tros and was, of course, the most beautiful youth alive, and was then chosen by the gods to be the personal cupbearer of Zeus. He then seduced Ganymede by turning himself into an eagle and taking him away from Troy. To buy off the Trojan royal family, Zeus then instructed Hermes to give the king a golden vine and two fine horses as compensation for the loss of Ganymede from the mortal realm. Because Ganymede was the personal cupbearer of Zeus, he was granted immortality. How thoughtful. It stands to reason that Ganymede and Zeus did not have any children together. The only issue Hera had with Ganymede was that he supplanted their daughter Hebe, goddess of youth and brides, as cupbearer to the gods. Also, if your zodiac sign is Aquarius, you can thank and attribute it to Ganymede. The first woman who was not a primordial, a titaness, or a goddess to have slept with Zeus was Niobe. Through this union, they beget Argos, who founded the Peloponnese, where Sparta is located, and then named it after himself. This Niobe is not to be confused with the hubris woman who dared to say she was a better mother and childbearer than Leto, mother of Apollo and Artemis. As I was reading up on his sexual conquests, I needed to find out if nymphs were immortal or not. They aren't. However, they can live longer than most mortals depending on the health of their surroundings. Example, a river nymph. If the river that she's attributed to is healthy, so shall she be. If the river dries up, she does too. She dies. Just an FYI for you. Zeus's next victim was Io. Io was the daughter of Anacus, who was the king of Argos. She was a priestess of Hera, which would make you believe that she would be hands off. Nope, not at all. To avoid Hera spying when meeting with Io, Zeus covered her lovemaking spots or locations with thick clouds to obscure viewers. To hide her from the prying eyes of Hera, Zeus turned into a white heifer. However, this is not the only interpretation. Another version would be that Hera turned Io into a heifer. I'm curious though, do you think Hera thought to herself, "That fucking cow, how dare she sleep with my husband?" Shower thoughts, I guess. So after the affair and turning her into a cow, Hera also sent one of her henchmen, Argus Panopes, to make sure that Zeus and Io did not meet up again. He was to watch Io, who was secured to an olive tree. Hera also gave Argus 100 eyes. This is so that he's always watching Io and to prevent her. To free Io from Argus's clutches, Zeus had Hermes stay with Argus. How, you ask? Let me explain, Lucy. Hermes, the shifty bastard, disguised himself as a shepherd, and while he was whiling away the time, he lured Argus, ever faithful to Hera, to sleep with music and poetry. Hermes then slew Argus with his sword. After hearing about the death of Argus, Hera took his eyes as to add to her new familiar, the peacock's tail, to immortalize her faithful watchman. To further indignify Io after the death of Argus, Hera tormented Io with the gadfly, constantly biting and irritating her. Io made it to a sea where she was finally freed of Hera's relentless torture. That sea was named in her honor, the Ionian Sea. She then apparently swam through it, reached Egypt, bearing another child of Zeus, according to some versions. As usual, any tryst with Zeus and bears fruit. With Io, they had two children. Apophis, who became an Egyptian king and became the king of Memphis, which was named after his wife. And then Carosa, who became the maternal link Byzantine kings and emperors. She was mother of Bizus with her uncle Poseidon. Ew. Next big name mistress of Zeus, Europa. Europa, poor princess, although I don't think she was really poor. She was another notable lover and mistress of Zeus. Europa was the daughter of Agenor, the king of Phoenicia, and Telephassa. Her two brothers are Cadmus and Cilix, but a potential third brother is Phoenix. While out picking flowers and watching her father's cattle, Europa saw a white bull and started to caress it, like you do. I'd like you to take a guess as to who is in the form of the white bull. Any guesses? You're right. It's Zeus. Also, as another useless tidbit, Europa also comes from Io's lineage. Family wreath, y'all. Family wreath. So while picking flowers and doing her princessing, Zeus sees her and again goes hubba hubba. To gain her attention, he transforms himself into a white bull and mixed in with the herd. Europa, being the probable naive princess that she is, climbs onto the back of the white bull, who then abducts her away to the sea, swims with her on her back. I'd like to see a bull swim in the ocean, please. Thank you. And takes her to Crete. Her three brothers, Cadmus, Cilix, and Phoenix, were tasked in fighting Europa, but they were unsuccessful. Europa, decreed by Zeus, became the first queen of Crete. With Zeus, they had three children, all sons. Minos, yes, that one, married Pasiphae, who bore the Minotaur, king of Crete. Rhadamanthus, another king of Crete, he also became one of the judges of the dead when entering the underworld. Also, he took as wife Alcmene, another one of Zeus's leftovers. We'll get to that story later. And then there's the last son, Sarpedon. He was a Lycian king and warrior, fought against the Greeks during the Trojan War. Here's an interesting factoid for you. The continent of Europe was named after Europa, and the other one, the bull Zeus turns himself into, that's the Taurus zodiac sign. Other children from their union include Algonia, a city named after her. She was a daughter, clearly. Dodon, a notable oracle, derived its name from Leotychus. I got nothing for you, sorry. Hydamus, or Hydarnus, a city named after her. Limera, again, nothing found. Speaking of family relations and family wreaths and sexcapades in the family, Zeus slept with Cassiopeia, the sister-in-law of Europa. This will be the first story shared of Zeus transforming himself into a lover's husband to gain access to her bed. This won't be the last, I assure you. Meanwhile, while married to King Phoenix of Phoenicia, Zeus saw another woman he fancied and decided to seduce and rape her. Now, keep in mind, rape is more of like seduction, not so much the actual act of as we think of it today. While married to the King Phoenix of Phoenicia, Zeus saw another woman he fancied and decided to seduce/rape her. As the shape-shifting shitbag that he is, he saw Cassiopeia and decided to lie with her as her husband. Through this union, because of course she gets pregnant, she bore Zeus Atymnius. Apparently he was another Greek hero. Another son of Zeus and Cassiopeia, Anchinos, but there's nothing really to note of him. Another princess that caught Zeus's eye was Protogenia of Phthia. Good lord, these names. Her father was King Deucalion of Thessaly and Pyrrha. Her brother was Helen, not of Troy, and his name became what Greeks call themselves the Hellenes. Her story is brief. Zeus saw her, had sex with her, and became the parents of Opis, Athleus, king of Elis, and father to Endymion, lover of the moon Titaness Selene, and Aetolus. Let's do a quick deviation and talk about Pandora. Yes, that Pandora. So according to Hesiod's Theogony, here's the story of Pandora. Pandora was created by Zeus as the first mortal woman. Hephaestus created the mold, a beautiful evil. She was created as a way to punish mankind from receiving gifts from Prometheus, the god of foresight. Notably, he gave us fire so we can eat and be warm. She was created to torment the human race. Athena gifted Pandora a beautiful silvery gown and the skill of needlework and weaving. Aphrodite gave her grace upon her head and cruel longing, and Hermes a shameless mind and deceitful nature. Because of course he did. Pandora, a walking paradox of grace and charm, and then of deceitful nature, was gifted to the Titan Epimetheus. He was a Titan of hindsight. He was then wed to Pandora. Prometheus, being the smart Titan that he is, warned his brother not to accept the bridal gift of Zeus. Well, being the Titan of bad decisions and regret, he wed Pandora. Pandora then brought herself and her pithos, similar to like a jar or container, not so much of a box. And once married, the contents of her pithos spilled out, except for hope. I bring this up because Zeus had an affair with another lady named Pandora. That Pandora's granddaughter. From the union of Zeus and Pandora's granddaughter, Pandora, she bore the son Gracius, a name of a tribe later called the Gracians. I wonder if they had any hope in their lives. Zeus also slept with Pandora's sister, Thaia, or Thea of Thessaly. Apparently, he didn't need to disguise himself with Deucalion's daughters. With Thea, two sons were born, Magnes, first king of Magnesia, there's a joke in there somewhere, and Macedonos, the founder of Macedon and / Macedonia, and by extension, Alexander the Great came through this line from Philip II. Also remember his mother Olympia, who also bore him, stated that he was the son of Zeus. Chalce was also another princess of Thessaly who enjoyed the love and attention of Zeus. With Zeus, she bore the king of Elis, Endymion, who, already noted earlier, became the lover of the Titaness goddess Selene, personification of the moon. While not one of her sons by Zeus, her grandson was Narcissus. Yes, that Narcissus who found himself in a pool of water and fell in love with himself. Another nymph who succumbed to Zeus's seductive powers was Tegate. She was a Pleiad nymph who were associated with Artemis. As always, with the wandering eye, Zeus seduces Tegate. In pursuing her, Zeus took the form of a doe with golden horns. From this union, Tegate gave birth to the founder of Sparta, Lacedaemon, who then married a woman named Sparta, and that's how Sparta got her name. As DJ Khaled says, and another one. Zeus also moved on to another nymph. Her name was Othrys. No transformation or disguises, but as always, there's an issue being born. The issue being Miletius. As with other several partners of Zeus, many feared the wrath of Hera. Trying not to draw attention to her brief rendezvous with Zeus, Othrys left her son Miletius to die from exposure. Yes, this happened in ancient Greece. His older half-brother, Phager, son of Apollo and Othrys. Phager found him and raised him, and Miletus then became the king of Melite in Phthia. Also, Miletus is associated with bees and honey. Not really a bad story. Unfortunately, for this next anecdote of Zeus's next amorous conquest, Dia, the wife of Ixion, is not a good one. Well, not for Ixion, at least. Before going into her affair with Zeus, Ixion needs to be mentioned. Ixion is persona non grata to the Olympic gods. He is the proverbial version of Cain. This son of a bitch married the niece of Sisyphus, Dia, daughter of Dionysus. He offered Dionysus a valuable gift as payment to marry his daughter. However, being a deceitful son of a bitch that he was, he had his father-in-law killed by pushing him into a bed of burning coals and wood. This isn't the only horrific deed he did. Zeus invited Ixion to Olympus to meet the pantheon of the gods. One thing people need to understand about the ancient Greek culture is that is the act of hospitality. Hospitality, known as xenia, was vitally important to the gods, particularly with Zeus. That noted, once Ixion arrived to Olympus, instead of being thankful and grateful of Zeus's hospitality, Ixion fell hard in lust with Hera, further angering Zeus and violating the guest host traditions and relations. Again, xenia. Because Zeus found out about Ixion's intentions of seducing or, if not just outright assaulting Hera, Zeus created a cloud nymph, Nephele. Nephele was created to trick Ixion into sleeping with foe Hera. From this twisted union, the Centaurus tribe were formed. Nephele bore Ixion's son, Centaurus. Her son was born physically deformed, which he was unable to socialize with other humans. He moved to the woods of Pelion. There, he committed bestiality with a mare from Magnesia, also from Zeus's loins. Through this unholy union came the centaurs, or the Lapith centaurs. Ixion was the king of Lapith. Back to Ixion's wife, Dia. I think in this case, Zeus was a welcome person entity into her bed. Similar to Io or Europa, Zeus took the form of a stallion, how apt, and from there, Dia fell pregnant and gave birth to Pirithous. His name derives from the word Parthian, which means to run around. This was how Zeus seduced Dia. Pirithous will return in another story. Another transformation story. Zeus turned into a satyr, half man, half goat. Mr. Tumnus from C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, or Philoctetes from Disney's Hercules. He chased the daughter of the Boeotian river god Asopus. Zeus spied her and decided to seduce her, of course. Antiope, his dick's desire, was a follower of his son Dionysus, also known as a Maenad. Zeus decided to transform himself into a satyr. Hera's not featured in this story. Unusual, but yes. She runs away to avoid her father Nicetus's of Thebes' anger and wrath. She runs to Sion, not too far from Sparta, in the Peloponnese. She married Epopeus, who was then a hero to the Sion people. They married, and Antiope gave birth to twins, Amphion and Zethus. They were born at the Mount Cithaeron. Cetus started a war with King Epopeus and wanted his daughter to return home so that he may punish her due to her rape and seduction from Zeus. Antiope, being the injured party in the story, Antiope did what others have also done. Leave their children out for exposure. This is mostly due to Antiope being brought back to Thebes by order of Lycus, the brother of her husband, who committed suicide or died from an injury. Antiope was able to escape after her abuse from Lycus and his villainous wife, Dirce, who was abusing her while in their care. Once gone, she went back to where she left her sons at Mount Cithaeron and then convinced them that she was their mother. They all went back to Thebes, healed Dirce, got an army, and overtook and joint ruled Thebes. Now we get into the more famous offspring of Zeus. Zeus had so much time on his hands, he was able to fuck so many women. Good gods. Another day, another nymph. This nymph, Aegina, was abducted by Zeus and he took her to the Attica region. Oh, and Zeus transformed into a flame, according to Ovid. Her father, Asopus, gave chase to Zeus and Aegina. The reason why Asopus was thunderbolted was because he kept chasing Aegina and Zeus to stop their affair. Zeus, being the horny son of a bitch that he is, said, "No, you're not getting in the way of this relationship, and I'm gonna thunderbolt your ass." Was sent back to his own area near the Peloponnese. Zeus then landed on the island of Oenone, later named Aegina after her. Aegina bore Zeus a son, Asius, who became king, and a daughter, Democritia, who became the mother of Patroclus, companion of Achilles. Aegina was also the great-grandmother of Achilles. Ah, the best of Zeus's affairs. Zeus, being the voyeur that he is, spied the princess Danae, daughter of King Acrisius, king of Argos. Before getting into this affair, we need to know the reason why King Acrisius did what he did. Prior to Zeus's seeing the princess Danae, King Acrisius went to the Oracle of Delphi. He went to the oracle because he had no male issue and wanted to see what was in store for him. He was told by the oracle that he would never have a son, but he would have a grandson who will kill him and take over his throne through his daughter. After learning this, King Acrisius put his daughter in a locked chamber. However, Zeus, being the shifty shapeshifter that he is, turned himself into a golden shower. Now, let me explain something. The golden shower in this story is not the one that we think of when Donald Trump was hanging out with those Russian hookers. So, he turns himself into a shower of gold and somehow he impregnates Danae. Once Acrisius learned that Danae was pregnant, Acrisius put her and her infant child in a wooden chest and threw them into the sea. After doing this, Zeus asked his brother Poseidon to calm the sea so that Danae and Perseus, her son, safe travels to wherever they land. Danae and Perseus arrived to the island of Seriphos. They were found by a kind fisherman named Dictys. His brother was Polydectes, king of Seriphos. Not only was Zeus panting after Danae, King Polydectes was also lusting after Danae. Unlike Zeus, Danae did not return Polydectes' lust or affection. Danae was initially protected from Polydectes by Dictys and Perseus when he was older. Dictys' plan to subvert Perseus' protection of Danae was by sending him off to get the head of the grotesque gorgon Medusa. He made Perseus do this so that Polydectes could seduce and try to marry Danae. Polydectes was unsuccessful. I guess she lived a happy and uncomplicated life after Perseus forever stoned via the face of Medusa, Polydectes, and became the king of Argos and Mycenae. She really doesn't fare too badly like Io or Europa. Unlike Danae, this next relationship resulted in the last of the Olympian gods, Dionysus. I know I spoke about Zeus and Persephone's son Zagreus, who was killed and consumed by the Titans, but his heart was saved by Zeus. This heart then turned and was given to his next son, Dionysus. This is according to the Orphic myths. Here's the story of Semele, a priestess of Zeus. She was the daughter of Cadmus, king of the Boeotian Thebes, and Harmonia, daughter of Ares and Aphrodite. Now there's a lineage. Harmonia was the god goddess of harmony and agreement, I think her name gave it away. Zeus spotted Semele and fell in insta-lust. Semele, like other encounters, Zeus transformed himself into an eagle and visited her secretly. Guess who found out about his secret relationship, that is? It was Hera, of course. Mamma mia, here we go again. Hera took it upon herself to intervene on this relationship. As usual, Semele got impregnated. Once Hera found out, she too changed her visage into an old crone. Think of Disney's The Evil Queen or the Evil Witch from Snow White. Hera approached Semele. Semele confided to the old crone that the father of her unborn child was Zeus. Hera then pretended not to believe Semele's story. This bitch gaslighted Semele. Hera then brought up that Semele should ask Zeus for a wish slash boon. Zeus, eager man whore that he is, promised her anything upon the river Styx and granted her her wish. Well, us mere mortals are unable to see the gods in their glory. If we do see them in their celestial glory, we die from incineration. Zeus tried to convince her to change her request. Semele persisted, and because he swore upon the river Styx, similar to cross my heart and hope to die, Zeus then granted her her wish. He put on his godly glory and incinerated his lover, much to Hera's delight. Before her dying, however, Zeus, somehow, was able to get the baby Semele was carrying, cut his leg open, and put the fetus in there so it can continue to grow until it was ready to be birthed. This is one of the weirder birth stories I've ever read or heard. Once the demigod fetus was ready to be born, out came Dionysus. He was the god associated with vines, wines, drinking, revelry, and theater. Also, he, according to Orphic tellings, was the reanimated, via his heart, birth of Zeus's Persephone's son Zagreus. As much as I am not a fan of Roman names, he was known to the ancient Romans as Bacchus, and his parties, festivities were known as Bacchanalias. He was also the last god who became an Olympian. Hera was not happy about that. Good lord, that's another, what, child of Zeus's that made it up into the pantheon? The other two she wasn't thrilled about were Artemis and Apollo. I know we've been zigzagging all over the ancient Greek lands, but let's head back to our favorite place, Sparta. Helen, Pirithous, and Theseus. Well, Pirithous makes another entrance, and now we have Helen and Theseus. Remember, I did say Pirithous would come back, dumb son of a bitch. As always, Zeus's cock got up to no good, leading him to another man's wife. This next victim of Zeus's lust was Leda, a Latonian princess who then married the king Tyndareus of Sparta. As usual, with his modus operandi, Zeus desired Leda. Zeus then took the form of a swan to escape a hunting eagle. He fell into Leda's arm as a form of protection. I also wonder if Zeus had his eagle pretend, quote-unquote, to hunt him so he can get into Leda's arms. But again, that's just only speculation on my part. Jesus Christ, a swan. Okay then. Anyway, they consummated their union, so bestiality, again, fantastic. That night, Leda then slept with her mortal husband, Tyndareus. Leda, like many of Zeus's other light of loves, fell pregnant. Unlike Semele, she didn't incinerate after giving birth, or before giving birth, rather. Because Zeus came to her as a swan, she got pregnant, probably like a regular woman, and then she hatched her children. Leda was pregnant with quadruplets. Two from Zeus, two from Tyndareus. So here we go. The four children were Helen, Clytemnestra, both daughters, and Pollux and Castor, both sons. According to different myths, but somewhat consistent in that Helen and Pollux are the children of Leda and Zeus, Clytemnestra and Castor are of Leda and Tyndareus. Like I said, she didn't just give birth to these children, she hatched them. I wonder, when she was pushing out these eggs, did she scream like a human woman when they're, you know, giving birth? Or did she honk like a swan? I'm sorry. I'm just something I randomly thought of. Let's discuss Helen of Sparta. She's quite the mythological figure. As mentioned earlier, she was born from an egg that her mom hatched along with her sibling. Helen was described as being the most beautiful woman in the world. Let's bring in some new characters. Theseus, Pirithous, Hades, Persephone, and Theseus' mother, Aethra. Okay, some of these people aren't new, but it's a new story. Theseus, being a brawny idiot that he is, and his cousin Pirithous believed that because they were sons of gods, notably Poseidon and Zeus, they should marry goddesses or at least divine offspring of the gods. Here we go. Theseus chose his cousin Helen, and Pirithous wanted Persephone. Y'all can see the trouble brewing, right? They each pledged to marry daughters of Zeus. Theseus at this time had already been married to the youngest daughter of King Minos, of Minotaur fame, Phaedra. She doesn't have a good story. That's for a different time. Perithous also was a widower. He was married to Hippodamia, where their marriage ceremony hosted the boisterous centaurs, the Battle of the Lapith centaurs. Anyway, sorry, thought that'd be worth mentioning. Moving on. Theseus took initiatives to abduct Helen from Sparta, and with the help of his mother, Aethra, Helen was kept under her care until she was old enough to marry. Oh, she was, depending on the source, between 10 and 13 years old. Perithous decided that having Persephone and no other would be his next marital. Theseus assisted Perithous down to the underworld to take and marry the queen of the underworld, Persephone. You know, his half-sister. They did not achieve their goals. The two demi-divine idiots made their way down to the underworld. Meanwhile, Castor and Pollux, Greek name Polydeuces in this case, I do actually prefer the Roman name. Anyway, searched and found Helen and Theseus' mother, Aethra. Helen was rescued and brought home. Aethra was then turned into a slave as punishment. And honestly, that's the end of her story. There's nothing else. Back to the divine idiots. Theseus is rescued by his cousin Heracles while completing his 12/13 labors. Perithous, however, was unable to rescue due to the heinousness of his crime, attempting to kidnap the queen of the underworld. As punishment for this, he was then strapped to a chair of forgetfulness. Perithous then forgot why he'd gone down to the underworld, who he was there for, and how he was supposed to conduct his affairs in the underworld. Persephone won this battle, as did Hades. Of this story, don't fuck with Persephone. Just don't. I actually have more respect and fear for Persephone than I do Hera. Perithous never regained access to the mortal world again. However, a twisted fate as ever, in ancient Athens, which Theseus became king, Perithous was also worshipped as a hero. Seriously? Wow. We come to discuss the last story, thankfully, and the most famous of Zeus's mortal lovers, Alcmene. As always, we do need to discuss the lineage of Alcmene. Her grandparents were Perseus, another son of Zeus, and Andromeda. Her father, Electrion, and her mother, Anaxo. Well, Anaxo was the great-granddaughter of Tantalus. He married King Amphitryon, king of Tiryns and Argolis. After killing her brothers, Alcmene said she'd marry him after being cleansed of his sins, also known as miasma. While being cleansed, Zeus, as always, spied the pretty queen and again desired to slake his lust upon her. Thebes. Amphitryon planned a military campaign against the Tephians and the Teleboans, other Greek islands and inhabitants. During this time, Zeus took it upon himself to sleep with Alcmene. Again, how do you ask? Well, Zeus took the form of Amphitryon. He did this with Leda. Remember when he went to Sparta and slept with Leda and begat 4 hatchlings on her. According to author Robin Waterfield of the Greek myth, stories of the Greek gods and heroes vividly retold, Zeus had appeared to her as Amphitryon and slept with her before revealing himself to her and giving her a goblet as a gift. Oh, sorry, a golden goblet, because that makes a world of a difference. Not only had he slept with her, but he's persuaded Helios, the sun god, to rein in his stallion so that the sun would not rise in the morning and that the night would be prolonged to 3 times its normal length. So much potency did Zeus want to sow in fair Alcmene. Again, just to reiterate, he told Helios to not have his chariot pull the sun and keep night going 3 times longer. So essentially he slept with her for 3 days. Remember when I said family wreath, y'all? Family wreath? Well, Perseus, Heracles' great-grandfather, was also his half-brother. Alcmene learned of her husband's return. She recounted his military victories. Alcmene relayed his accounts on the battlefield and said that he'd lain with her the previous night. Later, Amphitryon learned from the blind prophet of Apollo, Tiresias, that Zeus had slept with his wife. Alcmene, as usual, like most of Zeus's lovers, she fell pregnant. Unlike Leda, she had twins. She didn't have quadruplets, and they weren't hatched. They were actually birthed. Anyway, so with Zeus, she had Heracles, and with Amphitryon, she had Iphicles. Being the aggrieved wife that she is, had Zeus swear an oath to her that the son of the house of Perseus would be high king. Zeus intended his son with Alcmene to be chosen. However, Hera had the grandson of Perseus, Eurystheus, born first at around 7 months, and made Alcmene's birthing delayed to prevent her son from getting the title of high king. So Heracles was not actually born as Heracles. We only know him as Heracles, the glory of Hera. He was initially born with the name Alcides. Fear the goddess queen's wrath. Alcmene tried leaving Alcides for exposure, but he was picked up by his divine half-sister Athena. Athena, also the goddess of war, more like logistics, was also the patron goddess of heroes. So she brought little bro up to be breastfed by Hera, not recognizing the child being from Zeus and Alcmene's affair. While breastfeeding, Alcides suckled a wee bit too hard and made Hera yelp in pain. She threw little Alcides from her breast. Some of her breast milk also leaked down, and boom, the Milky Way was created, not the chocolate candy bar. Dislodging the little brat, he was returned to his parents, Amphitryon essentially adopting him, and was renamed Heracles. Glory to Hera, or Pride of Hera. Hera was not pleased. Before recounting some of his achievements, we do need to discuss his name, as there are multiple spellings. Heracles, Heracles, that's Greek. Heracles, that's also Greek. Hercules, that's Roman. And Huncules, Hunkles, that's from Disney. Hera also sent two snakes to kill Heracles as a baby because she was jealous of the affair with Alcmene. However, the two snakes, they didn't fare too well. They were killed by Heracles. Hera really had a hard-on for tormenting the last mortal son of Alcmene and Zeus. Heracles married Megara, daughter of King Creon of Thebes. In her actions of extracting revenge on Heracles, she drove him mad, so much so that Heracles killed Megara and their children. He threw their three children into the fireplace, where they got incinerated. To cleanse his soul of the murder of his family, he was tasked to go to a king or a god, or to be cleansed of his miasma, which is the unseen madness disease that put on somebody from the gods. So he goes to his cousin Eurystheus, the one that was titled High King, and he had to complete 10 labors, which end up being 12 laborers, and I'll go over those in a moment. I just want to briefly point this out, you know, just came to me. There's a story in Genesis where Isaac takes the birthright from his brother Esau, who should have inherited the covenant of God from Abraham. And that was in Genesis chapter 25, verses 19 through 34 in the New International Version of the Bible. Funny how these stories overlap. Back to Heracles and him cleansing himself as miasma. To cleanse himself of this problem, Heracles went to the Oracle of Delphi, usually under the protection of Apollo, but under this circumstance, the Oracle was under the control of Hera. The Oracle instructed Heracles to go visit his cousin Eurystheus to complete the cleansing process. Eurystheus commanded, via Hera, to complete labors within a 10-year period. Any task asked by Eurystheus had to be completed. These labors became the 12 labors of Heracles. Here are his 12 labors. Kill and slay the Nemean lion. Side note, if you watch Disney's Heracles, the lionskin Heracles wears is that of Scar from the Lion King. Labor number 2, slay the 9-headed Hydra, and this will become important later. Labor 3, kill or slay the Cernician hind. This deer was sacred to Artemis. It had golden antlers. Labor 4 was to capture the Enomanthian boar. Labor 5, clean the Aegean stables. Labor 6, slay and or kill the Stymphalian birds. These birds shot out of their sharp metallic feathers to kill their prey. Ouch. Labor number 7 was to capture the Cretan bull. Also, this is the bull that was fathering the Minotaur that was birthed by Pasiphae, queen of Crete, wife of Minos. Labor 8 was to steal the mares of Diomedes, man-eating mares. Labor 9 was getting and or obtaining the girdle of Hippolyta, queen of the Amazons. He slept with her to get it. Easy peasy. Labor 10, obtain the cattle of the three-bodied giant Geryon. I don't remember this, but okay. That was labor 10. Labor 11, steal 3 golden apples from the Hesperides, daughters of the Titan Atlas. And labor 12, capture and bring Cerberus, which means in Greek, Spot. Two things. One, Hades named his dog Spot. That's cute as hell. Cute. Okay. Number 2, when Heracles was going down to retrieve Cerberus, he wasn't trying to steal him. He did ask Hades for permission to bring him up and then to bring him back down to the underworld. But this is when he met the two divine idiots, Corythius and Theseus, and this is when he freed Theseus from his chair in the underworld from trying to help Corythius kidnap Persephone. After being cleansed and completing all the labors, Heracles remarried. He married Deianira, a Caledonian princess. Oh, and her name means man-destroyer. Unfortunately, this marriage didn't last as long, as Deianira ended up murdering her husband with the help of the river Centaur Nessus, which Hera had no hand in. Interesting. So Heracles and Deianira were walking and were heading to cross the river Uranus, of which the resident centaur, Nessus. He noticed the beautiful wife of Heracles and decided with his horny brain, as most centaurs are, since descended from Ixion, they are sexually depraved creatures, except Chiron. Anyway, and attempted to abduct and rape. Heracles saw this and drew out one of his arrows that was dipped in the Hydra blood from labor number 2. Remember I said it'll play part later? Due to the extreme toxicity of the blood. So while he was dying, he told Deianira to gather his blood and spent semen, as a mixture, and gather this way to prevent Heracles from conducting extramarital affairs. Unbeknownst to Deianira, this toxic concoction would lead to Heracles' death. Having believed that Heracles was having a growing fondness for Iole, the daughter of another king, Deianira took one of Heracles' shirts, soaked it in the blood and semen of Nessus, and the shirt was then handed to Heracles by his servant Lycus. Once he put it on, Heracles was writhing in pain and agony. He was trying to take the shirt off, but when it came off, so did his skin. Heracles at this point volunteered to die via a pyre, think of a Viking death, to end his mortal suffering. Once done so, his mortality was burned off and then he became immortal and ascended to Olympus. I should note here that when he was a baby, when he was being suckled by Hera, because she was a god and he was immortal at the time, when he was breastfeeding from Hera, he was getting the godlike nourishment. Once he bit too hard and was pushed away, he was not fully immortal, but much more godlike than a regular human. His humanity, or mortality, was burnt out of him, and then he became immortal, and then went to Olympus with the rest of the gods, as Zeus had intended. All at the expense of Hera. It was Hera all along. Also of note, Heracles was the last child of Zeus to be born to a mortal. Also, when he ascended up into Olympus, he married his half-sister Hebe, the goddess of youth and brides. He also became the god of strength and heroes. Heracles' story is pretty meta, isn't it? The goddess who hated him the most became his mother-in-law. Oh. The end. Actually, Alcmene, Heracles' mother, remarried after the Amphitryon, and she married Rhadamanthus, a former king of Crete, brother of Minos, and an underworld judge. Again, he's also the son of Zeus and Europa, meaning he married his father's mistress. It really is a family wreath. I hope you enjoyed this two-parter episode. I figured ending on Heracles was the most important because after Alcmene, Zeus did not have any more sex scandals and shenanigans with mortal women. Plus, now I get to say Hunkules again. You're welcome. Next episode, we'll be back in ancient Rome, featuring Roman Emperor Nero and his sexual deviancy. Here's to another bye-bye for now. Until next time, try not to get into any shenanigans yourself, as I may just end up telling your story. You can reach me via email for any questions or requests at sexscandalshenaniganspod@gmail.com or visit my site, sexscandalshenanigans.my.canva.site. Artwork is from Jan Steens, A Girl Eating Oysters. Music is from the Advent Chamber Orchestra, performing Vivaldi Concerto for Two Violins in A Minor, RV522. The show is produced by me, Adrian, and also edited. So, sorry. Thanks again for listening. Bye!